Okay, turn with me to your Bibles tonight. We're going to start off. We're going to talk about the will of God. Is there such a thing as the will of God? First Corinthians chapter 1 tells us that God does have a will for your life. First Corinthians chapter 1, we'll look at a number of verses that use that phrase, the will of God, to start off with. First Corinthians chapter 1, Paul, called him to be apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. Now, there was a lot of people that were in existence in the day of the apostle Paul that did not become apostles. A lot of Christians, a lot of people who got saved, but there was only one Paul, the apostle. And he was the apostle Paul by the will of God. In fact, the Bible says in Romans 1 that he was separated unto the gospel from his mother's womb. So God had a will for him. Now, we would call that God's personal will for your life. God doesn't want everybody to be the apostle, but there are some that he wanted to be the apostle, and there's particular persons that he wanted to do that. That's called the personal will of God. God has a personal will. He had a personal will for the apostle Paul. He has a personal will for you, and it's unique to you. Psalm 139 tells us that our members were shaped while we're yet in our mother's womb, and that God wrote about us when we were yet still unformed. Now, the Bible tells us also that there is what we would call the universal will of God for every believer. You know, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the will of God, the universal will of God, the will that is the same for everyone, is found in the Bible. You go to the Bible and you will find that God has a will that is the same for everyone. Okay, that's his universal will. God doesn't want some people to be church members, some Christians to be church members, and not others not to be Christian church members. It isn't that God wants some Christians to be baptized and some Christians not to be baptized. He has a universal will for every believer, and that's found in the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, verse 2, it says, "For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus Christ." So the will of God is found in the commandments of the Word of God. And then he talks about, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, and that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God." And so, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. And he's talking about, moral purity and taught in the Bible. And those are very specific commands in the Bible. Leviticus chapter 18 would be a good place for you to read if you want to know a little bit about moral purity. It is the will of God for every believer. And actually, it is the will of God. In that case, the Ten Commandments are the will of God for everyone, for civilization. Okay? God didn't lead some people to be morally pure and others not to be. Okay? So, God has a will. He has a personal will that's just for you. He has a will, a universal will, that's the same for every believer. He has a will for civilization, for society. We go to the Bible, we find in the Ten Commandments his will for society, for mankind. That's his will. Okay? Now, let's talk about this for a minute. The next thing I want to say is that God has personal will is it's perfect. It's perfect. Romans chapter 12. It's perfect. It's perfect for you. It's perfect for God. It's perfect with God's plan for your life. It's perfect with the talents that He has given you. It is perfect with the Word of God. He doesn't lead you to go against God's Word. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and perfect, acceptable and perfect will of God. Perfect will of God. Now, as we think about that, God's perfect will, we need to realize that God's will can be lost. God's will for your life can be lost. We have a number of illustrations in the Bible of God's will was lost. Okay? We find in 1 Samuel chapter 13. That God's will can be lost by disobedience. God's will can be lost by disobedience. Here we have the account of Saul and his lack of obedience, it says in 1 Samuel 13, it says, and Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly, for thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be a captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. Well, he lost God's will. How? Disobedience. You know, people take disobedience kind of flippantly, don't they? Right? People take it flippantly. Oh, I'm going to do what I want to do. And, of course, God said, you know, I would have done this for you, but you disobeyed. He disobeyed. Now, you know, in Numbers chapter 13, if you go there, you find that there was a few hundred thousand men that lost the will of God for their life. Numbers chapter 13 and 14, we find that actually we're in 14. the spies went into the land, and they saw the goodness of the land. And rather than take what they saw as an encouragement to do God's will, use it as an excuse to disobey. And because of that, God said, you're not going into the land. Now, was it God's will for them to go into the land? Of course it was God's will to go into the land. But because they would not obey God, they lost the will of God. And so here we go. Verse 22, chapter 14, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened unto my voice, surely they shall not see the land. They shall not see the land. Now, it's kind of interesting. You know, not only was it disobedience, but privilege. They sinned against the privilege that God had given them. And what happened? They wandered in the wilderness, went around in circles. Now, it reminds us that there is a permissive will. There's a perfect will, but there's a permissive will. Now, the difference? Number one, the permissive will is not what God planned. But the permissive will is now, because they have forsaken the perfect will, there's a permissive will. And what I think is interesting about the permissive will is all those people that saw the miracles of God, all these men who were supposed to be responsible men and refused to obey, you know what God did? There was a pillar of fire that led them every day. Their shoes never wore out. God gave them manna every morning. Oh, God was working in their lives, wasn't He? You see, sometimes people make that big mistake. Oh, God did this for me, and God did this for me, and God did this for me. And okay, I'm all fine. Oh, God did a lot for them, but they were not in God's perfect will, were they? They're only in God's permissive will. Now, of course, Joash in the Bible is a good illustration of a man who lost the will of God. 2 Kings chapter 13. Verse 14, now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it, and Elisha put his hand upon the king's hands. And he said, open the windows eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot! And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou hast consumed them. Then he said, take the arrows. And he took them, and he said unto the king of Israel, smite the ground! And he smote thrice and stopped, or stayed. And the man of God was wroth, and said, thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. Notice his lack of faith as exemplified by only striking the ground three times hindered him from experiencing God's perfect will. Now, not only do we have the perfect will of God, we have a permissive will, but we also have man's will. Turn with me to Psalm 106. When you think about losing perfect will of God, read the first few chapters of Deuteronomy and just to see all that God had to say about Israel. But this occasion takes place on the wilderness journeys of Israel, Psalm 106. It says, verse 14, talking about Israel in the wilderness, it says, they soon forgot his works, and they waited not for his counsel. That was interesting, wasn't it? Went ahead of God. They lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request. But sent what? Leanness unto their soul. Here we find man's will. Sometimes God gives men what they want. It's not what they need. It's not what's best for them. But man is so intent. Israel was so intent. And of course we have the occasion that they lusted after flesh. Oh, we don't want this man. We're tired of this man. Give us some meat. And God sent the wind and these quail just filled the camp. And while they were eating the quail, while it was in their mouth, they dropped over. Must have been some kind of disease in the quail. But they wanted it. They wanted it. Now, I think it's important for us to understand that God has a formula, a plan for everyone about the will of God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Now, this is really emphasizing God's personal will for your life. The context is Romans 12 is the context of gifts. Gifted abilities, sometimes spiritual abilities that God has given to you they're to be used for the glory of God. Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us those abilities have been given for the glory of God, not for yourself. And then we have the premise, the prerequisite to these gifts that God has given in the church to the people. And notice we have some interesting truths here about experiencing the will of God. He has the process whereby a believer experiences the will of God. Now, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, first of all, obviously, you got to be saved. You want to have God's will for your life, you got to be saved. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Okay, so the first S is salvation. But then it says that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know what that means? A living sacrifice? That means 100% of the time. That your body is given to God to use for Him. Anything you do is done in your body. You give your body to God. That includes everything in your life. So, very simple truth. What does he say? Surrender. Surrender. Living sacrifice. Not, you know, a little bit. The whole thing. The whole thing. You know, some people, they get the, oh, I surrender to the Lord. Wait a minute. Living sacrifice. That's not talking about 20 years from now. It is talking about 20 years from now, but it's talking about all the time from then to now. Right? A living sacrifice. You know, living sacrifice. Every minute of your life. Every minute of your life, your body is alive. A living sacrifice. That's what it means. A complete surrender of your life, all your abilities, all your time, all your talents, all that you have, it's now God's. Surrender. Your future, your present. Surrender to God. Give it to God. It's a real transaction. It's not accident. You know, when those people in the Old Testament, they brought the sacrifice, you know, they took the best out of their flock, and they brought it, and they put their hands on it, and they slit its throat, let its blood spill, and put on the burnt the brazen altar. The brazen altar was where the whole sacrifice was burnt up, the whole thing. That's what this is talking about. So that's pretty simple. And I remember one time, this person said, oh, I'm going to give my life to the Lord. And I don't know if it was at camp or whatever. And so then the next week we had a work day. Opportunity to serve the Lord. Guess what? Think they were there? No, you know why? Because they really didn't give their life to God. I mean, if you give your life to God, you're giving your whole thing, right? That's what it means. Surrender. So the first step is surrender. Now, the second step is separation. And be not conformed to this world. Separation. Now, the word conform means don't be a play actor. Don't be a play actor. You know what a play actor is? Okay? If I was going to be an actor, okay, as an actor, you play the part of somebody else, right? Okay? That's what a play actor is. And so, he says, you're a Christian. You're surrendered to God. Don't pretend or play on the outside. Don't appear on the outside that you belong to the world. You belong to God. And don't do anything that gives the message that you belong to the world. Don't look like the world. Don't dress like the world. Don't think like the world. Don't try to be like the world. You're not of the world. You're not of this age. Don't be conformed to this age. That's not who you are. So separation. Separation is vitally linked to the will of God. Think of Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight shall be in the law of God. Wow, there's separation, right? What came first? Separation. Separation is a vital part of the process of finding God's will. Now, we should have started with this phrase so you know where we're going. Let's go to the last phrase of chapter 2. And it says that, find it, find that phrase, that ye may prove. That the word that, I don't have my Greek, and Thomas isn't here, can you believe it? Okay, it's probably the word henna. In order that, resulting in, right? It's Greek scholars, okay? In order that, the word that, resulting in, that ye may prove, that's the word, that ye may experience yourself. The what? That which is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, so the result, how do you, it says you can experience the will of God, you got to do three things as a believer. You have to surrender. Number two, you have to separate. You don't separate. You don't fit into the formula. This is God's formula. I didn't write it. God did. And then what does it say? But be transformed. That's sanctification. Be changed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How is your mind renewed? The Bible. The Bible. Every day in the Word of God, allowing the Word of God to renew your mind so that you aren't thinking the world's thoughts or the thoughts of you. You're getting God's thoughts, and the result is that you'll be transformed. You'll be changed. Changed, transformed. Just this is the same word when it says Jesus was transfigured. When Jesus was transfigured, his flesh was covering up. This is a little simplistic. His flesh was covering up his deity. But when he was transformed, his deity came out. They saw who he was. That's what it means to be transformed. Be transformed. And then the result is that she may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So there's the process to find God's will. Now, realize that this is every day. But you know, isn't it amazing? Now I think about it. In general, for most people, they're going to find God's will before they're 21, many times before they're 10. They're going to begin to find God's will for their life after they're saved. And you know, that affects the rest of your life. The will of God. God doesn't make mistakes. God's not schizophrenic. You know what I'm saying? That's not schizophrenic. Now, here's an important truth here. Is that God has a process. You want to know God's will for your life. It's a simple process. And it's kind of like, you know, you find God's will when you're in the process. Now, I can only go from a personal experience. But you know, I remember the day as a believer I went to a missions conference. And the preacher said, now, if you're willing to surrender your future life to whatever God's will is for your life, if he wants you to be a missionary, whatever he wants you to do, if you're willing to just say, God, I'm surrendering my life to you, whatever you have for me. Now, I never heard that before, ever. That was a completely new concept to me. I didn't go to church much. So I never heard that really before. And so, you know, the preacher asked for a raise of hands, and I raised my hand. And now he says, why don't you come forward and we'll pray? Oh, boy. Never did that before either. You know? And so, you know, I saw this girl go forward. That gave me the courage to go. Man, I was really a big man, you know? And so we went forward and the preacher prayed with us. And I remember getting in my car, driving back from Waukesha to university. The devil said, you're a fool. You are a fool. That was so foolish to make that decision. And I don't know what I said, but I said, I rejected it. I rejected the devil's voice. So anyway, you know, about I thought, as you know, as a believer, I wanted to serve God with my life. I wanted to see souls get saved. I didn't think I could do anything for God. The only thing I knew how to do was wrestle. I was on the wrestling team, and Camps Crusade had a wrestling team, college graduates that went to all the great wrestling schools, and they had a team that were some great wrestlers, and they would wrestle these secular schools and do a good job, and then they'd witness to them, give their testimony. I said, man, I think I could do that. I think I could do that. And so I thought, well, you know, I'm going to go to a wrestling camp and get better at wrestling and strengthen my life. And while I was at that San Bernardino, California, I was reading my Bible. And the Bible says, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And and the Lord used that verse to say, now, you might not think that you could ever speak, but I want you to preach. I want you to serve me full time with your life in ministry. So I said, okay, Lord. You know, and I'm convinced that God was able to call me because 1 month earlier, I had surrendered my life. Now, he was testing me. He called me, and I said yes. Now, I'm convinced that the reason he called me was because I gave him liberty to call me. I had to surrender. And, of course, it's all a big, long story after that. But the first step is surrender. And the second step is separation. And the third step is sanctification. And you continue to do God's will. I remember when God called me to Bible college. I said, I'm trying to make this short here quick. But I told this man, Christian man, I says, God's called me to... He was talking to me. Well, what does God want you to do? I said, well, God wants me in the ministry. Really? Well, if he called you to preach, he's called you to go to Bible college. I says, what's that? I'd never heard of such a thing. Never heard there was such an existence, you know. Bible college, what's that? Well, to make a long story, I got to Maranatha. And you know what? The first week I was at Maranatha. Now, that was a lot of process. Oh, you know. You go to Maranatha, you don't do this. Really? Okay, Lord, I'm not going to do that. And I had to hear something else. Oh, man, that's big. Okay, Lord, I won't do that. And you know, et cetera. And I got there. And, you know, long story short, guess what? First week I was at Maranatha, I sat at the table where my future wife was sitting, assigned tables. I'd obey to get to the next step. Amen. And that's how God does it.
You obey. You obey. You surrender. You obey.
God has a process. And you can go through that whole process. It's not like some magic wand. Gave my life to the Lord. It's all over now. You know, you can hit me over the head with a 2x4. No, no. Obey. Surrender. Separate. Be transformed. God's will. He has a perfect will. And it is that process that God uses for everyone. And you know what? Disobedience can cause us to lose God's will. Lack of faith can cause us to lose God's will. Boy, that's pretty serious to lose God's will. Because God's will is perfect. God's will is good. God's will is acceptable. Do you want God's will for your life? Or, God forbid, do you want your will? Do you want your will? You know what? If you want it so bad, God will give it to you. God will give it to you. It won't be too good, but he'll give it to you. That wouldn't be too good, would it? God has a will, and it's great. Even in our imperfections, we have that formula for God's will. Let's pray. Lord, pray you'd use the Word of God tonight to understand and to know, Lord, these vital truths. And Lord, now some, Lord, have not yet come to the place where they're doing the universal will. And I need to get that right, what the Bible says for every believer. But Lord, every believer needs to also be in your perfect will. And Lord, there has to be a real surrender, a real one. And that's for the rest of our life, every day of our life, our whole being. A living sacrifice. It's real. It's the first step. And Lord, I pray for those who haven't surrendered, real surrender, Lord, that they'll come to real surrender. And Lord, those who have surrendered and haven't been separated, Lord, they're going to hear the wrong voices, Lord. They're going to hear the wrong voices. Lord, for those that aren't in the Word of God every day, they're surrendered. Maybe they're separated, but not in God's Word. They're going to be missing, too, what you have for them. And Lord, so use this in our lives tonight. Perhaps you're here tonight and right there in that pew, honestly, before God, you can say, God, I'm surrendering my whole. You're saved. You can say, I'm surrendering the rest of my life, whatever God wants in my life, and you really, really mean it. I encourage you right there in that pew to surrender your all and really mean it. And to share that with someone, have them pray with you later. Perhaps one of the other steps is missing, steps of separation. And, of course, separation will keep you from continuing to sin. Lack of separation will take away the surrender, won't it? And you thought you could play on both sides of the fence. You can't. And that's the decision you need to make. Maybe it's transformation. God wants to change your life through the Word of God. And you aren't very serious about coming to church. You aren't serious about learning the Bible, not serious about obeying, not serious about God leading you to grow in holiness and godliness, that transformation of your life. You're not changing. You're just kind of dead in the spot. maybe one of those places. Maybe you're here today and those things are true, and you can say, you know what? God's will is great. And you can trust Him to lead you further in the days ahead. When it's time, He'll show you the way. Lord, use your word in a great way even tonight. While our heads are bowed, there's a decision you need to make. You say, by uplifted hand, say, yep, I'm making it now. I'm making that decision that God has spoken to me about right now. Anyone here tonight? I'm making that surrender before God. Okay? I'm making that surrender. Okay? That's a big one. Complete surrender to God. Okay? Anyone else? Maybe you're here and you say, you know what? I've been disobeying God. I'm in trouble. I could be losing God's will like Saul did. And you need to repent and get back and right with God. And you're here. That's a big one. And you say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm in jeopardy of losing God's will because I have been disobedient. And I'm concerned about losing God's will. And you say, Pastor, pray for me. God spoke in my heart tonight. I don't want to lose God's will. I want to get back in the path of obedience. Anyone here tonight? Okay. Praise God. Anyone else? Okay. Lord, now use your word in these important decisions. God bless them. In Jesus' name. Amen.